Horror Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today.
What would happen if the moon didn't do what it was supposed to do? You'd be dead, and so will I. What would happen? Anything of this organized universe that the intelligent, brilliant, all-wise creator made, if anything was go out of whack by just this much, we would be dead. So when you think about it, you know, God had made such a beautiful creation. Now, why did he do all that? Why did he go through all that work? I mean, of course, we talk about work, but God just said it and it was done. It's not like he was tired or anything like that. It's not like God was, oh my God, how do I form this earth? Oh my God, I got to make this sun. He just said, let it be, and boom, there it is. So we could talk about that and say, well, that was easy. All he did was say it and it came to being. But we see how God made all that with one purpose, so that you and I could be in this place. Simple. So that you and I could be here. So that you and I can exist and coexist. And he started with a family. He made Adam and Eve. And he gave them children. And God started working with that family. Out of that, we see later on, God works through another family. Noah's family. Then we see God working through Abraham's family. Amazing, right? And then God works through another family. Jacob's family. Israel. And then he keeps working through families and families and families, and he wants to work with your family. But today I want to make a stop in Joshua chapter 1 in a very, very interesting passage that we all know, that we just simply have read probably so many times, right? And we are going to look at it, and we want to walk out of here definitely with renewed strength, renewed faith. We want to be putting away all discouragement. We want to encourage our faith and that we may be faithful. Look at that. I'm telling you, technology is something else. Take that. Tell Fernando to buy me a new one. Or I'll keep yours. That would be something, right? But I want us to be encouraged today. Hey, look at me. I was right on my notes. Yeah. So when you look at the great course of history, you see God continuously and constantly working with families. And the good thing is that he comes into covenant with families. When he works with Abraham, he makes a covenant with him. He worked with Noah, he made a covenant with him. He works with Moses, he makes a covenant with him. He works with Joshua, made a covenant with him. And now he wants to make a covenant with you and me. And he's done that already pretty much, but we need to abide by that contract or covenant that he's made with us and do our own part. Now we see that the people of God have been on a journey. They came out of Egypt through God's deliverance. We see the mighty hand of God bringing them, and they're going through the desert. They're going through the wilderness. They've been everywhere, taking the little back roads to the promised land. And now all of a sudden they come to a halt. Because Moses has died and Joseph has taken over, and God says, okay, let's stop right here. You know, think about a stop sign, a crossroads, or think about a red light, because it's about to turn green. And God says, you know what? Here we are. We stand right here at the crossroads, and I'm going to show you the way. So it's time for you to take the on-ramp onto success. It's time for you and your family to take the on-ramp onto this highway called prosperity. Now, be careful with that. I always, always warn that I don't speak prosperity gospel as some do out there. Don't claim it. Don't name it. Don't take it. Don't do that. Let God give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's great. He promises and he gives. But check this out. It's like, turn on your GPS for your family, because you're about to go onto this journey. And this journey will take you to prosperity and success within family. And we'll talk about that in a second today. So when you leave this place, I hope you're on the right destination and you're on the highway with God towards prosperity and success. But let's read in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Check that out. Arise. Now, don't arise yet. Some of you are ready to get up and go, but not yet. Just give me a sec. Cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am given to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and into the Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Amen. I will not fail you. Amen. Or forsake you. Amen. Hallelujah. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, and take it with you and in you on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all again that is written in it, for then you will make your way what prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yes, amen. Do not go to the left, do not go to the right. Stay on the path, stay on the highway to heaven. Highway to success, highway to prosperity. Now, let's think about this for a second. And first of all, just so that you know, be careful with the word success, because it doesn't mean what we mean in English. Unfortunately, the Bible sometimes in some translations does not make it clear. Now, I know that in my Bible, there is a parenthesis, there is a little letter and a reference that says, the word success in the Hebrew means wise decisions. So it's not like, oh, you're going to be famous. No, you're going to make wise decisions, Caroline. That's what it's talking about, right? So take it easy, all right? It's not about you, why, whoa, look at me with all this success. No, look at me with all this wisdom to make and do the right thing. That's what it means. So when the Bible speaks of success there, it means wise wisdom to do the right thing. So I will make you prosperous, and I will give you wisdom to do the right thing. That's what it says. So parting from that, let's think about a few things. Because first of all, God is the one who initiates the covenant, and he is the one who goes and comes into covenant with us. And it's based on his promises. I am so glad it's based on his promises, Raul, because if it was based on my promises, the covenant would be broken already. If I was to count on your promises or mine, we'd be done. But it's on his promises. That's the great thing about it. Now, let's look at verses 3 through 5. He says, you know what? You need to get up in verse 1, but why? But he says, I'm going to give you the land all the way from the Jordan to the river Euphrates and all the way to the sea, all the way to the north, to the south. It's all yours. I'm going to give that to you. It's all yours. I'm going to establish you there. You're going to be there. It will be given to you. I have given to you. This is key. It is God who gives. We only get because he gives. And that's the one thing we need to realize, that it is his promise. He decides how much he gives you. He decides how much he gives us for our family. He decides to give us, and he gives a lot. Have you experienced God's abundance? I hope you have, because God never lacks, and God is not stingy. God is an abundant God. He is a generous God. He gives you a family. He gives you a home to establish you in love. He gives you abundantly, but he sets the boundaries and the limits to your home and to your blessing. So instead of complaining, we need to be thanking, because God has given. I hope you're thankful for your family. I hope you're thankful for your home. I know that life comes in with ups and downs and all kinds of stuff and suffering and loss and this and that and difficulties and problems. But yet, God still gives. And you know what? He may give us a blessing of this and that. And sometimes he might just give us comfort and strength to withstand the difficulties and the suffering. But it is God who gives. But not only he gives, he guards. He says, you know what? No one's going to be able to stand before you, Ed. No one's going to stand before you. I know you're not that scary. So it's got to be God standing up for you, right? So no man can stand before you. Ain't nobody can come up to you and say anything or do anything against you if I am for you. And I told you, I will be there. I will not leave you nor forsake you. We'll get to that. No one will be able to stand before or against you. You know what that tells me? It is implied there. If something happens, usually it's me. Think about it. Have you ever found yourself in the blaming game? Well, if you wouldn't have, well, if they wouldn't have, or anything else, and most likely you're like, If they did something to me, if they came after me or against me or before me, I have a choice to do the right thing or not. So most likely, it'll be my choices that affect me and my family. So I have to be careful. God guards me from the enemy. God guards me from anyone who comes against my family. But I have to make the wise decisions. I can't blame anyone else for what goes on in my home. Amen? When something goes wrong, I need to check self before I go checking anybody else. You see, God gives, God guards, and God goes. Now, God doesn't mean that God goes without you. He goes with you. That's a great thing. He says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you always. I will be with you all the days of your family. I will not leave you alone. My presence will be your shelter. Basically, I am your home. So come home to me. I am with you. I will never fail you, nor leave you, nor forsake you. With God, let me tell you something. Promise made, promise kept. He never fails. You see, you have been called. You have been chosen. God chose you to be in your family. I know that some of you may think, I wish I didn't have this particular family. But you didn't choose them. God chose them for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. Sometimes we're like, really? What was he thinking? But it's okay. It's okay. Just take it as a blessing. Take it as a blessing, Joshua, okay? Well, we're talking about Joshua here, Joshua there, Joshua everywhere, all right? So I want you to think about this, because as he goes with us, and he wants to lead us. You see, that the idea of God going with you and with your family is not so that you can drag them along. The idea is that you will be the one dragged along with him. Because do you find yourself that God has to drag you sometimes, Freddie? Yeah. He's dragging me all the time. I know the feeling. You see, we want him to be the one that leads us. He wants to lead our families into that, what? Abundance and success. Abundance and success. Prosperity and success. That we will be okay. That we will experience his blessings. That we will enjoy his company. One of the greatest blessings we have is that he is there with us. Amen. You know, God goes with you. God goes with us. And he wants to lead our families. He just doesn't want to be the lowest member on our family. He wants to be the top. And he's got family plans. He is the most important member of our family. So God gives, God guards, and God goes. And he goes with us. We can rely on his promises. And by the way, I'm gonna make a quick note on right now. This Wednesday, We closed on the property of Marrero. We've been given the keys. Don't get so excited. Please don't. I mean, I just said that we acquired the property to expand a church and to open up a new church in Marrero. We've just been given the keys. We closed on it. Don't get too excited. I don't want you to have a heart attack. Hallelujah! Let's do this now. Why do I say this? Because some of you are like, oh, no. Yeah, it's an investment. Oh, yeah, it's going to cost. You know what that means? Your pocket and my pocket is God's pocket. And we need to provide for this. Oh, I knew he was coming up with something. You and I need to be generous. You and I need to be like God, a God who gives, a God who goes, a God who guards the house. And we need to provide for this. So people, I'm asking for you to do two things. Be obedient and be generous. I'm not asking you to make a commitment of $100,000 in the next 10 years. I'm not asking you to get up right now and put your watch in there or bring your gold and put it in the chest. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking that if you and I all together are obedient and generous, we won't have to worry about a thing. And if you've been provided, the house needs to be provided. Amen. But we're going to talk about that in another. I just had to do that because we have an opportunity here like we haven't had before. It's a great thing, and we're going to get a chance. You're going to get a chance. We're all going to get a chance together to go there and to clean it up, put all the work in it to make it nice, and open the doors and start reaching people down there for Jesus Christ. Amen? And we're going to need your help. We're going to need everybody to give and go. Amen? All right. But that's what God does in order for us to be in the covenant with him as a family. And we're talking about our families at home and our church family too. But let's think about a couple of things here because we have to make our own commitment. You have to be committed to God. I have to be committed to God. And being committed to God means being committed to my family at home and to my family in church. It means a whole commitment, all, the whole nine yards. In verse 1, it says, arise, arise. You need to get up. Arise and go, right? Actually, in verse 2, arise and cross the Jordan. We need to get up and go across whatever we need to. And in verses 6 and 9, it gives us some things to do as we commit, that we need to be strong, that we need to be courageous, that we need to what? We need to be strong and courageous and careful. We need to be careful and careful to obey. Careful to obey in verse 7, according to his law. We need to be committed to his commandments. We do not let this depart from us in verse 8. We cannot veer to the right or to the left. Don't get off the highway on the wrong exit. Keep going. You got enough fuel for the destination. God is with you. You don't have to worry about it. We have to just follow through. Have I not commanded you? He says in verse 9, be strong and courageous. It says, do not tremble or be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Don't be fearful. Have faith because I will be with you where we go. So you see, there's a few commitments that we need to make in our commitment to God and to our family. And the first thing we need to do is arise. We need to take our family to the next level. What is the next level for your family? Does that mean that you are going to be praying more in your family? Does that mean that you're going to be reading the word together more often? Does that mean that you're going to be serving together? Does that mean that you're going to do something about it? Yes, we need to. Someone has to lead. Yeah, and God calls Joshua to lead the family, to lead the people. But yet, he doesn't just say, you lead, and they just sit there. No, they have to do something. Every member of the family has something that they need to do. The family needs to move together. The people need to move together. The church needs to move together. The call is not just for the father. It's not just for the man. It's for the woman. It's for the child. It's for the youngster. It's for each and every one of us in the whole family to move forward in God's plan. Think of your kids. Think of your kids. Think of your parents. Think of your family. Think of your home and say, are we in the will of God? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we going where we're supposed to be going? And start praying about that. Because we're all called to follow as he leads. He says he will go with us, and the word go means go. We need to get moving. Now, we called what? We're called to trust God through obedience and courage. We need to be strong and courageous. Why? Because we are leading the charge.
We are leading the charge. You see, we lead in some way, shape, or fashion. You're an example. Even if you're not the parent in the home, if you're young, when you're out there in school, when you're out there at the job, wherever you are, you're leading. Either you're leading people to Christ or you're leading them away from Christ, because you're supposed to be in Christ. What have you been doing? You think about that. You see, that's what the Christian family is supposed to look like. People watching over each other, working with each other, and living life with each other. But we need to do it with strength and courage. You see, God wants to strengthen your family. God wants to strengthen us. Our strength is not enough. You're not strong on your own. On our own, we're just weak vessels. We need the strength of God. What does it mean to be strong? This implies that we're going to face hardships. God wouldn't tell you to be strong if you weren't going to face the weight of this world. You see, he wants us to be strong because he knows we will face difficulties and hardships and pain and strain, suffering and opposition. We don't need to argue. We're not here to be strong in argument or in fight. I mean, as long as you stand on what you believe and what you believe is the truth, you don't need to fight that much, right? Our rock and our salvation is the Lord. Our house is built upon that rock, or is it built on the sand? You see, my house is built on solid ground. All of the ground is sinking sand, says the song. We need to be careful. We need to be strong. Being strong and courageous, why? Because what he has promised has an amazing value. You just cannot calculate. You just cannot sum it all up. You don't have a number to come up and say, this is how much God is worth and what he's done is worth. So you need to be on the front lines to cover your family. You need to be on the front lines to establish and defend your home and your family, because you will face opposition. And they did. They went into the land and God said, all of this is yours. Wherever you put your foot on, it's yours. Now, was it that easy when they went in there? No, they had to go to battle. They had to fight. Because the people that were in there, they're like, oh, no, we're not going anywhere. And God said, but I've given it to you. And there's a whole bunch of reasons we can discuss when God tells his people to go in there and take away everything and take away everyone and anything and just take over. And some people talk about God having and doing genocide. That's not the case. There's reasons why God went against the Canaanites that were in their land. Number one, what we talked about last week, their moral decay. They were simply a bunch of immoral people. Sexually speaking, especially Leviticus 18 speaks of that. But also, not only that, they were sacrificing children. They were sacrificing children. So God says, I don't want that kind of stuff in my land. That's not what you're going to do. That's why God said, you got to take care of them, wipe them out. Because if not, you're going to start doing the same stuff. And don't we? We do that. We get with the world. And instead of the world doing what we do what they do. All of a sudden, like, oh my God, I found myself doing the same thing. So we have to be careful. That's why we have to be strong and be courageous. We have to defend the fort, you see. God uses me to show his mighty works and his miracles and his loving heart for the world. But he's going to do it through us. You see, we have been appointed to be his family, and you have been appointed to your family. You have your family's DNA. You can't get out of that. You cannot deny it. You cannot abandon it. You got to defend it. You got to cherish it, and you got to work for it in order to enjoy it. See, but not only God wants to give you strength, he also wants to give you courage. Notice that in the Bible, it says, be strong, be courageous. And I'm saying God gives strength, God gives courage. Because God knows that you cannot do that and muster it all up on your own. He's got to be there. That's why he says, I'll be there with you. You see, courage means that we don't look back. Courage means that we don't look back. Courage means that we move forward without hesitation. That we're not going to stop for anything. We're not going to make no pit stops. We don't need to. God is with us. We got to follow God's leads, even when we do not know where he leads. Have you found yourself sometimes thinking, where we go next? Guess what? You're just like a biblical character, because Abraham was in a place with his family, living well, and God said, you, get up, leave this place. pick up your stuff and let's go. Where are we going? I ain't telling you. You don't need to know. As long as I know where I'm taking you, you just take a walk with me. And I have the lead. And Abraham did. And so many men and women did that. Courage means that I stand on the truth, even when the lies of the world surround me. You see, we're being attacked. The family is being attacked. We need to stand on the truth. It means that what I know about God and what he has revealed to us as a family, we will take hold and we will never let go. Don't let go. What has God revealed to you? What has God revealed to your family? What has God revealed to us? Hey, it's right here. This book, this little book right here, from Genesis to Revelation. You see, we need to exercise faith through obedience. He says, I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you strength. And you need to be faithful. You need to be obedient. You need to stay the course. You need to trust the process. You got to trust the God in your process. Being strong and courageous. He says, being careful to obey. Being careful to obey. This means that you cherish and protect your family by faith, by trusting God and doing what he says, obeying the truth. Obedience is not about knowing what is right. Obedience is about knowing what to do with what is right, doing what is right. Obedience requires action. You cannot be obedient by just sitting still unless God says, be still and know that I'm God. He does ask us to be still at times. But even being still requires a lot of strength, doesn't it? Even being still requires a lot of courage. Even being still requires faith and obedience. You see, obedience requires action. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and oh my God, the definition of faith. And faith is believing without seeing, having certainty of what lies ahead without a doubt. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What you hope for, you're sure of. The conviction of things not seen. Now, oh my God, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to give you the whole chapter right now. I just can't contain myself. You see, the assurance of things hoped for. We're talking about the assurance of the things that you expect, that you're hoping to see. Hope for it. What you expect and what you're sure about, because even though you don't have it yet, it's coming to you. The conviction of the things not seen. The word conviction means evidence. And the word evidence is actually the root of the word evidence means obvious to the mind. It is obvious. God is good, obviously. God was strong, obviously. You see, the evidence shows and proves it. So when it says there that it's a conviction of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen is basically saying it's obvious. I don't have to ponder on it. I don't have to think about it much. I don't have to meditate upon it much. I don't have to debate it. It is obvious that what I don't see, God does. And what God does, I may not see, but I trust him. That's what we're talking about. So since you know, you can rest assured in whatever God says, you obey, you take action, you work, you move forward, you walk, you go ahead, you do not. You do what you're supposed to do. You don't do other stuff. You do what you're supposed to do without question, without hesitation. You obey because you know the one who said he would do, and his promises are always yes and amen. I'm so glad I found my notes. You want to see faith in action? Now, I'm going to show you what it says in chapter 11. You can read it later, all right? You can take chapter 11 of Hebrews and read it later. But check this out. I'm going to tell you exactly what goes on in this chapter. And in this chapter, the writer writes about Abel. He says, Abel offered the offering and it pleased God. Enoch walked with God and pleased God. Noah built the ark for the salvation of his family and it pleased God. Abraham was called. He heard. He got up. He packed up. He left and went and without knowing anything. And as he was going, it pleased God. By faith, Sarah, who was considered barren and was old, God made his faithful work in her and conceived when she was old. And then it says, and it pleased God. By faith, Abraham, when tested, he offered up his son Isaac. And guess what? It pleased God. And Isaac blessed his children, Esau and Jacob. And guess what? It pleased God. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he not only blessed his children, but he also worshiped the Lord, and it pleased God. By faith, Joseph reminded the family of God's mighty work. And what happened? When they got delivered, it pleased God. By faith, Moses' parents hid him from the Pharaoh. So guess what? It pleased God. By faith, Moses refused to enjoy the privileges of being an Egyptian and the pleasures of Egypt, and it pleased God. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. And guess what? It pleased God. By faith, Moses and the people celebrated the Passover before seeing the victory. They celebrated before they went out. And guess what? It pleased God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, and they prayed and they worshiped for 7 days, and it pleased God. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, and it was on dry land, let me tell you, while the Egyptians drowned, and it pleased God. By faith, Rahab, who was a harlot, welcomed the spies in the city, and guess what? She was saved because it pleased God. And if we have more time, I'll just keep going, because Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and all the prophets, they all conquered, performed acts of righteousness, and obtained the promises. I just read to you, basically, the chapter 11 of Hebrews. And if you didn't notice, the phrase that went through all the time was what? And it pleased God. You see, you can trust him. You just do what you're supposed to do. You obey and you do what you're supposed to do like these people did, and God will be pleased. And when God is pleased, guess what happens? We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. That's why in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, check this out, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You just seek him. You just follow him. And guess what? Your family's going to be blessed because he's in it. You see, we cast out our fears and discouragement. We need to do that. Our fears and discouragement. We need to cast that out. No fear, no discouragement. I know I always play around with some people around here. I tell them, never fear, your pastor's here. But don't go with that. That's just a joke. Trust me, it's a bad joke. Never fear, because God is here. Because I will fail you and forsake you. But he won't. He is that good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is. You see, no fear, no discouragement. Why? Because God has promised his presence, his prosperity, and his success, which, remember, is the wisdom to act right. So we obey. What does he say? Be careful to obey what's in the law. And he says, meditate upon this all day long. You know what meditating is? It's like the cow chewing the cud. All day. Bring it in, boom, bring it back out. Ooh, that's nasty. But guess what? That's what we're referring to. It's taking the word of God and mulling over it, over and over and over and over it all the time, all day and all night. Do not veer from it, for to the left or to the right. We need to fight discouragement, fight the fear. And fighting fear is not anything else but to have faith. You fight fear with faith. So it's not about being brave. It's not about seeking God firsthand on your own. You know, it's about knowing that he's there, and you don't have to go too far to find him. You lead them. You lead others. You are an example. And let me tell you something. As a father, you need to do this. As a parent, you need to do this. As a mother, you need to do this. But even if your parents don't do it, guess what? Children, youngsters, whoever you are, you do it. You be the example at home. You can also be the example and lead your family in Christ Jesus. If your wife doesn't do it, husband, you do it. If your husband doesn't do it, then wife, you got to do it. And the same thing, it goes all the way around. But somebody has to establish your family in the presence of God. Just remember that you can only be truly strong and courageous if your strength and courage comes from the Lord. And last but not least, let's not forget. Just a reminder. Remember the Lord's promises. Just remember the Lord's promises. In verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God made a covenant, and he swore to his name that he would do this. And guess what? When God swears, it's not like when you and I swear, which we shouldn't swear. The Bible says don't swear because of the same reason, because we don't comply. God swore for himself, and he says, I will give you this land. And the people did the wrong thing after the wrong thing after the wrong thing. And did they get the land? Yes, they did. Now, were they displaced from the land and we're still having a fight over that today? Yes. Because God said, if you don't obey, you're going to be cursed. If you don't obey, you're going to lose the land. If you don't obey, you're going to be dispersed. If you don't obey, you're going to have troubles. Well, guess what? But I'm going to give it to you because I promise. So here you are. I'm giving it to you. But you messed up. Now you're out of it. Not my fault. I fulfilled my promise. Now I promise I can bring you back too. Isn't that great? That God tells Israel, I will bring you back at the end. God is still relentlessly pursuing Israel, and he's still relentlessly pursuing you and your family and saying, you fell from grace? No, my grace is sufficient, and it's always permanent. I got you. You fell? I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to do something with you. You see it. You believe it. And now why? Because you need to remember that he has promised, and he swore on it. Number two, not only that, remember God's principles. What are God's principles? It's God's word. The only way you can be truly in a relationship with God is through the word. The word became flesh, and the word walked among us, and he lived among us as the Son of Man in his Jesus Christ. He is the word incarnate. We don't have Jesus walking around today, and if he did show up, we'll probably fall to the ground and never see anything again. But guess what? He's left us his word. That's him. This is his presence. Not only that, he left us his spirit. Come on. So we abide in the contract. We abide in the covenant by his principles. Let's not forget his principles. They're all right here. Your family needs scripture because there is life in them. The principles of God, his principles contained in this book, may not be trending today, of course, but they are never ending. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is his word. The power of his word and everything that is in it will go on forevermore. So you remember, don't you forget, you remember the Lord's promises, you remember the Lord's principles, and remember the Lord's presence. You see, you do not deviate from his word, you do not deviate from his presence. And guess what? He's here. He's with you. You don't have to be afraid because the Holy Spirit dwells within you if you are in Christ. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to tremble like the Bible says because the Father in heaven is mighty and powerful. You don't have to be afraid of condemnation because Jesus came and died for you and me and for our families. Come on, people. He is righteous. He is loving. And he will take care of your family just as he promised. He is present. Now we see the story in Joshua of the walls of Jericho as they're coming into the land. And the Bible says that this city was fortified with, I mean, these walls were thick, tall, and strong. Yet they went around the whole place for 6 days. They just walked around. They walked around. Oh, by the way, they weren't alone. Because remember, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God among his people during that time, was leading the charge, was leading the walk around the city walls, the presence of God. And on the seventh day, they sounded the trumpets, and they all chanted, and what happened to the walls? They fell down. Now, I want you to think about something. This is the first act, the great miracle that God performs as they're going into the land. Now, of course, he also stopped the river, and they crossed into dry land. Let's not forget that other miracle. But when you get to Jericho, this is very impressive. And a lot of times we talk about it in most churches and most pastors, including me, we're always talking about, you see the power of worship. You see the power of, you know, just chanting out to God and shouting out to him and worship and believe in him. You know what? It wasn't the trumpets that brought the walls down. It wasn't the people chanting that brought the walls down. It was the presence of God. It was God himself that was there. They could have chanted all they wanted. They could have sounded all the trumpets in the world and still nothing would have happened unless the presence of God was there. So you see, God is the one who delivers. God is the one who watches. God is the one who conquers. God is the one who fights for our families. And you can see his mighty works defending you and your family if you just trust him. We're going to have to deal with difficulties a little bit later. You see, they only fought a couple of battles once they went into the land. Did you know that? If you look at the book of Joshua, there was only two battles. And in one of them, they failed miserably. Why? Sin. One of them, just one of them, named Achan, decided to disobey God. They were winning the war. They were winning the battle until one man named Achan decided, oh, I'm keeping some of the loot. I'm hiding it in my tent. I'm going to take it home. All that gold and all this stuff, this is nice. And God had told him, do not deviate from my principles. Do not deviate from my commands. Do not take a single penny from the loot. Do not do anything. Don't take nothing. Do you know why God said that? Because he says, I'm giving you everything. You don't have to go get it for yourself. You don't have to take from nobody. I'm giving to you, and what I give you is more than enough. But Achan said, oh, no, I like that. Yo, nice. Set of glasses. Look at those cups. Man, we can drink wine. That's nice. Put it all away. And guess what happened? Many died in that battle because of that one man named Achan. And when they discovered him, what happened? You know the story? Oh, my God. They came at him and his family, and they burnt them. They killed the whole family. Read the stories in Joshua. Just a couple chapters over. Now, you don't want your family to be burned. You don't want your family to suffer. That's what it means to not deviate from his principles, from his presence, and from his power. That we stay in his word obediently. And he will. He will definitely deliver us. Actually, it was only a few battles, 16 total. And they won them all except that one. Think about it. So, at the end of it all, what we need to remember is God's promise, he will fulfill. God's principles are right there for us. And you see, God's presence will always be with us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, and you would like to listen to previous sermons or more information about our church, visit our website, www.horebnola.com.